Start your mornings on the right foot
and listen to the Morning Jam 6 to 9 a.m.
We're glad to have Blair Ford. She is from Centra and she is a nurse practitioner, thoracic surgery, lung cancer screening clinic. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about this month. It's a month of lung cancer awareness.
That's right. Yeah, November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and we're really trying to bring awareness to this because lung cancer is actually the leading cause of cancer death.
Wow.
And this year alone, over 235,000 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer. And so one way to really bring awareness to this is to talk about lung cancer screening.
So this is a lot more people, it seems, because, you know, the folks that have given us an awareness of breast cancer have done such a good job. Is it Susan B. Komen? Is that right?
That's right.
They've done an amazing job to bring, and there's a lot of folks, a lot of men, that prostate cancer is a big thing. As far as awareness, when I think of lung cancer, by default, I think of people that smoke cigarettes, and that is true in some cases, but not always. I've also heard the stories of people getting lung cancer that never smoked a cigarette in their life.
Well, there are other ways, though, that you can have that if you're exposed.
Asbestos or whatever.
In an industry like the building industry,
right.
or
that's
things.
Exactly right.
You can be exposed to things.
Asbestos, radon, diesel exhaust, mm-hmm. Family history, those are all additional risk factors for developing lung cancer.
Right.
And, probably 18 to 20% of lung cancers are in folks who have never smoked.
Mm-hmm.
So also secondhand smoke.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, you do hear of that. Sometimes people who grew up in homes with parents that smoked.
That's right.
Used to, you would see them in the cars. I mean, the car would be just billowing with it. I mean, it's just crazy.
It is.
But now, especially with in light of COVID, mm-hmm. When you see how COVID impacts your respiratory system, the pneumonia, that type of thing. Now, if it was ever a time to stop smoking, to stop those risk factors, it's now.
That's exactly right. Lung health is very important these days, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And when I was a little girl, of course, this was in the 70s, I guess, when they really started talking about the dangers of smoking and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember begging my dad to stop smoking.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, even to him, the difference in his lungs from just a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I mean, just incredible. That alone kept him from ever going back and picking one up.
Absolutely.
But
smoking kind of keeps your airway in a, constant state of inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the inflammation that causes, the coughing and the mucus. So, while smoking can cause some very, lasting, permanent damage, the inflammation in your airway certainly improves. And so the coughing and the mucus and a lot of those chronic bronchitis symptoms do absolutely improve. So we encourage patients to quit smoking not only to prevent lung cancers, but to prevent chronic lung disease. And
mm-hmm.
it also increases your risk of stroke and heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's really, quitting smoking is one of the best things you can do for your overall health and well-being.
What about the popularity of the vaping thing? Has it been out there long enough for us to get an understanding of what that's doing to young people primarily, it seems?
Yeah, we really don't have enough data yet to
mm-hmm.
know. We worry, though, because the data's not there. We don't know whether it could be worse, So
right.
we, as a healthcare provider, we cannot recommend vaping as, an alternative to smoking or as a way to quit smoking.
I remember, now this is going back to the 70s, late 70s, seeing a video. They were trying to use, I guess, kind of shocking kids in school and stuff. And they showed, a lung that had been opened, cut in half, of a smoker. And it was literally black on the inside, the kind of trying to shock us. This is what's going on. And then I remember the first time you inhale a cigarette, that a chemical change actually kind of starts on the inside of your lung,
mm-hmm.
that it actually begins your first inhalation of a cigarette.
Yeah,
things begin to change. So is it true, like Janet said with her dad, you know, also heard if you smoke 10 years, it may take 10 years for your lungs to kind of get back to where they were. Is that still kind of the standard? Or
yeah, well, we again, you know, there, when we think about things like emphysema, you know, it's kind of like once the damage is done,
it's done.
There's gotcha. You know, we can't give you a pill or grow you a new lung,
so, right,
you know, we, the only way to prevent further damage to your lung is complete abstinence.
Okay.
You know, people try to cut back to improve that, but yeah, the best way is complete abstinence.
Yeah.
One of the things that it just seems like I've seen more of in the past 10, maybe 15 years is the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. Is that, I mean, what are the reasons for that similar to the lung cancer?
Yeah, so COPD is really chronic bronchitis, which, you know, the clinical definition for chronic bronchitis is a daily cough that produces mucus. The O part of COPD stands for obstruction in the lungs. And the only way to really know if you have obstruction in your lungs is to do what's called a pulmonary function test. And a pulmonary function test will, you know, take some measurements and tell you if you have the O part of COPD. So again, the symptoms are, you know, usually a daily cough that produces mucus. Patients can have shortness of breath,
right,
and wheezing. Those are all things that go along with
and
COPD.
Even tightness of the chest and just being really tired. Sometimes you lose weight.
Yes.
With it. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about insurance, paying for screening, and then, you know, what happens during a low dose CT screening test.
Yeah. Yeah. So lung cancer screening is actually looking for signs of lung cancer in someone who does not have any symptoms of lung cancer. And so other examples of screening are like mammograms for breast cancer, pap smears for cervical cancer, colonoscopies for colorectal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so for lung cancer screening, we use something called a low-dose CT scan, which is really the only proven method we have for looking for lung cancers. You know, we used to try to use chest x-rays before the technology was mm-hmm. there, but they are really not good tests for looking for lung cancer. And so we have these studies that show that screening those who are at high risk for lung cancer and before symptoms are present help us find these lung cancers earlier when they're a lot more treatable and even curable.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about who is at high risk, annual screening is recommended for those whose age and smoking history place them at higher risk for lung cancer. And that means that they have at least a 20-pack year history of smoking, and they currently smoke or have quit within the last 15 years.
Okay.
And so most commercial insurances cover individuals aged 50 to 80, while Medicare is covering those aged 50 to 77. And they have recently put out a statement, I believe it was on the 18th of this month, saying that they are expanding their coverage based on the latest U.S. Preventative Task Force recommendations, which is to expand age 50 to 80 with at least a 20-pack year history of smoking.
Okay. And then the insurances, as far as the screening, and then I think they, in the long run, don't want to have the other happen if we can catch it early.
Exactly. So they've seen the results of these large-scale studies, and mm-hmm. so based on that, they are paying 100% for an annual low-dose CT, so at zero cost to the patient.
Okay.
And so, you know, we need to spread the word. We need, you know, to tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors. We have data from the American Lung Association that showing that Virginia is only screening 7.6% of folks who are eligible for screening. So we can do a lot better.
Tell us where folks can go to get screened or how they can get information.
Yeah.
Because again, we're at a time where your lung health is more important than it has ever been, to manage it,
right,
should you get COVID, that type of thing.
Yeah. So if you think you fit the high risk criteria, I, the I would start by asking your primary care provider. You know, most primary care providers can order a low-dose CT. And we also offer a centralized lung cancer screening program through the Pearson Cancer Center in the thoracic surgery department. Mm-hmm. So we are happy for you to call us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for
being here.
This is great information. Oh, you're welcome. Blair Ford, she is a nurse practitioner, thoracic surgery, lung cancer screening clinic for the Centrum Medical Group. Thanks for stopping by the Morning Jam this morning, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. It is 8:17. I'm getting the hour right, Janet.
Look at you.
Yeah, it was 8:17 an hour ago, too.
Been muddying it up today.
I sure have.
Well, we all have been.
We're going to come back with some local stories. Also, some fun things. Janet's got another Five and Dine. We'll do somewhere around 8:46. Don't go anywhere.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.